You're welcome back to the News at One. So Michael McGrath is set to be the EU's next Commissioner for Democracy, Justice and the Rule of Law. This means that, among other things, he will lead the Union's efforts to tackle rule-breaking by member states, like Hungary, which has repeatedly been at odds with the Commission. The portfolios were revealed this morning by the Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. Ms von der Leyen said that while she had worked intensively on gender balance, she hadn't quite achieved it. 60% of the new commissioners are male. A short time ago, our Europe editor Tony Connolly asked her about the brief received by Michael McGrath.
President Michael McGrath has been allocated the justice and democracy portfolio, yet the Irish government was seeking an economic portfolio. He's a former finance minister. Why did you choose him for that particular role, and will he be responsible for GDPR? And if not, why not? Thank you.
So this goes very well with the answer I just gave, that commissioners are responsible for the overall topic in the European Union. And as you said, a strong economic portfolio, I think 20 member states at least ask for a strong economic portfolio. It is impossible to have 20 commissioners on strong economic portfolios. Michael McGrath has an excellent track record, and he has experience in leading ministries, so working his way through political questions. The commissioners are not the technical expert, they are the political leaders. The rule of law is a very important topic for his political affiliation Renew, and we share all the importance of the rule of law. He will be responsible for consumer rights, for example. So all topics where I think he will excel and where I think this is an important and highly respected portfolio.
Ursula von der Leyen, let's go now to Tony Connolly in Strasbourg. Tony, assuming his appointment is approved by the European Parliament, what will Michael McGrath be in charge of?
Well, the big headline, Rachel, is rule of law, and that's been a much more political and bruising portfolio and issue at EU level. So he will be locking horns with, for example, Hungary on alleged democratic backsliding. He'll be responsible for an annual rule of law report for all member states, but also enlargement countries. So, for example, Ukraine will have to show that it's complying with rule of law obligations at EU level. That will cover things like judicial independence, media freedom, but also there's a new element of cross-border finance and SME activity across border to make sure that there's no corruption. And he will also have to strengthen the European arrest warrant, the European Public Prosecutor's Office, especially when it comes to corruption and organised crime. So, you know, this is a fairly bruising field of expertise and politics, even though it doesn't strictly speaking relate to his experience as a finance minister. So, you know, it will be a challenging portfolio, and, you know, he's got a big directorate general, a big civil service at EU level to support him in that, but it's certainly a high profile, and it will be an increasingly important role, I think, at EU level, especially with all the concerns now about big tech and misinformation. He's going to have a role to play there as well.
Looking at the overall makeup of this new commission, Tony, are there obvious winners and losers?
Well, I think Ursula von der Leyen has certainly strengthened her hand in that she did seek a gender balanced portfolio, or a gender balanced commission. She's got 40% female now, but that's up from 22% when member states put forward their nominees initially. So you could say that she has partially won that argument. Again, it's a win for France. The French government put forward a last minute nomination in Stéphane Séjourné after the shock resignation of Thierry Breton, and he's going to be one of six executive vice presidents. So he'll essentially stand over a cluster of lower ranking commission officials. But it's, you know, again, it's been a very difficult balancing act for her to get the geographic, the north, south, east, west, male-female balance right, but I think she has certainly stamped her her authority on the whole process. But again, coming into this next mandate, there's going to be a lot of major problems on migration, the war in Ukraine, how the EU pays for the green and digital transition. So she really will have a major piece of work cut out for her.
Tony Connolly in Strasbourg, thank you for that. Well, joining us now on the other line is the new commissioner, Michael McGrath. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
It is, as we were hearing there from Tony, a broad brief. What will your main priority be?
It is a broad brief. It is a very important one for the European Union. The core of it is about protecting democracy and upholding the rule of law. The rule of law is a fundamental value of the European Union, and it is the bedrock on which we build our societies across the European Union and on which we can have a successful economy. And that is going to be a key focus of my work over the next number of years, subject, of course, to ratification by the European Parliament. And I look forward to that process now in the next number of weeks. But the pillars that Tony outlined in relation to judicial independence, anti-corruption, media freedom, other institutional checks and balances, but fundamentally protecting our democracy. And the President has published the mission letter, which is my terms of reference as such. It's quite detailed, and it deals with ensuring that European democracy is upheld, that we protect against foreign information, manipulation and interference, and that we uphold the fairness and integrity of elections and so on. And then, of course, the consumer work, which is going to be a very important part of my focus, representing the interests of 450 million consumers across the European Union, and working with member states and national competent authorities to make sure that we do right by consumers, and that we uphold their rights as purchasers of goods and services across the Union. And of course, it is very much really the essence of protecting our single market, because companies need to know that the rule of law applies where contracts are entered into on a cross-border basis, that they will be respected and that they will be honoured. The President has asked me specifically to develop a single market dimension in the whole annual rule of law report to make sure the companies and SMEs operating across borders are supported. And she has also asked me to develop a new EU-wide legal status to help innovative companies to grow. So it's a new regime at an EU level to allow companies to benefit a simpler and a harmonised set of rules. So that's really just a brief flavour of what's in the brief.
Oh,
it is
okay.
Very broad and extensive.
As you say, there's a lot to be getting on with there. But how much latitude will you actually have, or will you effectively have to do the bidding of Ursula von der Leyen?
No, I will be a member of the college, and I will have a direct line responsibility for the areas within my portfolio, but I will be at the table. And so as a member of the College of Commissioners, we are all equal. That is in the treaties. I will have a say on all of the important policy files that will be coming across the college table over the next 5 years, whether it be in relation to security or migration or competitiveness. All of the great challenges, tackling climate change, digitalisation, protecting our young people, all of the major issues of the day will be dealt with by the next European Commission. And I will be at that table, and I will be an effective, and when I need to be, a robust voice on behalf of the people of the European Union.
Will you have responsibility for data protection, or is that unclear?
I will have a responsibility for GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, to ensure that it is fully enforced across.
Okay, so that's definitely
states.
In the brief, because I know earlier in the day there was some speculation that it might not be.
It is in the brief, and it's detailed in the mission letter that the Commission has now published. It also involves ensuring that we have trusted data flows with international partners. And of course, the European Union is a major player globally, and the relationship we have on a transatlantic basis, for example, is really important, that we have secure and private data flows that can be protected. And there are already arrangements in place there, and I'll be seeking to strengthen and develop those further over the term of the Commission.
Given your background, not just as a finance minister, but also as an accountant, had you hoped for an economic portfolio?
Well, the government, including myself, had made the case for an economic portfolio. And I think the president outlined very openly and honestly the challenge that she faced. And if you look at the allocation of portfolios, I think it is it does set out the context. If you look at some of the key economic portfolios that are there, trade, for example, has gone to Maroš Šefčovič, somebody very familiar to us. He's embarking on his fourth term as European Commissioner. The central economy portfolio has gone to Valdis Dombrovskis. He's starting his third term as European Commissioner. The internal market has gone to Stéphane Séjourné, the French nominee, the second largest economy in the European Union. There are colleagues of mine who I was at the ECOFIN, the finance minister's table in the European Union, such as Magnus Brunner, for example, from Austria, an excellent colleague. He is now going to be in charge of internal affairs and migration. So the truth is, you are given a portfolio that you need to provide the political leadership to manage and develop over the next 5 years. But as I said, there's collective responsibility. I will have a direct input into all of the central economic issues that the Commission will be facing over the next 5 years.
But you won't have the final call, and maybe that is something that you would have hoped for.
Well, the President has given me some very specific issues that are directly economically relevant for SMEs and businesses throughout the European Union, and also, of course, upholding the rights and developing a new consumer agenda out for the next 5 years for 450 million consumers across the European Union. So there is a huge amount of work that is directly in my in tray that is of direct economic relevance, but I will also be making a contribution to all of the other debates. But I think we shouldn't take away from the fundamental truth that the rule of law, that upholding our democracies, that the respect for the judiciary, for ensuring that judgments and decisions are made in a transparent and an open way, is a vital part of the functioning economy.
And I do know that people appreciate that. But I also saw one analyst pointing out this morning that Slovenia switched from a male to a female nominee, as Ursula von der Leyen had asked, and got rewarded with the enlargement portfolio. Would a female nominee from Ireland have received more favourable consideration, do you think?
I can't say for sure. I have no indication that that is the case. I met with President von der Leyen for my interview as such about 3 weeks ago, and it went really well. And I think from her comments this morning in response to Tony, I think it's evident that she does have faith in my own ability to perform what is a complex and a sensitive role in the European Union over the next 5 years. She's made significant progress in recent weeks in relation to gender balance, and I think that is appropriate. But I was appointed by the Irish government or nominated back at the end of June. Delighted to receive that nomination, and I'm very pleased with the portfolio that I've received today.
Michael McGrath, thank you very much for talking to us on the News at One.